Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you are listening to Checkpoint Intimates, where two of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one with each other and get downright intimate about a topic. Mm-hmm. My name is Cameron, and I am joined by the lovely and the effervescent Luke.
Hi, it's me.
Luke Mitchell.
No, we're not doing accents. You've proven
already. Oh, I thought you were doing already. I thought you were doing Valentina from Drag Race.
No, I'm not going to like racial profile anybody or have anything like that. I'm more like innuendo and like inappropriate sexual content.
Right.
Yeah, I leave the racial stuff alone.
No, but it wasn't racial. You did her like tagline at the end of it. Hello, it's me, Valentina.
Yeah, but I still want to like completely buy into your Drag Race narrative.
All right. Well, this is derailed quickly.
This is my narrative.
And it's good. You know, this actually works because we're making a first impression. And it's probably a bad one.
What you want to do is not what you're going to do.
I thought we weren't buying into this.
I thought of a good one that came to mind.
Okay, there you go. Moving right along. So today on the show, we're actually talking about first impressions in gaming and how first impressions can have a lasting impression.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's one of those things where I think video games, they have this kind of key window of opportunity to grab you and get you interested.
Yep.
It does start, you know, with like your first trailers and stuff like that, but really it's those first loading in moments on your console or your PC where you bring the game up and it pops up and you start playing, and it's so important for a game to hook you in those moments. And if they can't, it's going to be really tricky to bring you back.
And it's that thing as well, I think, especially in an age where we're all playing digitally online with our friends, it's another thing where you've got to get someone early to be playing with those friends, because things such as like, you know, The Division and Monster Hunter World for me made bad first impressions, so I didn't get into them. And then when I was kind of convinced to consider it, the damage was done and it was too late. Everyone was gone miles ahead and I didn't feel like it would be fun to do it alone.
And there's a few things that play into this, right? So, I mean, sometimes there's big games that are like these gigantic open worlds, or there's like a 100-hour RPG, or, you know, things like that where off the outset you're looking at like a large dedication of time. And oftentimes I've played some of these games, put a couple of hours into it, and it hasn't grabbed me. And I've been like, you know what? This just isn't for me. And I talk to other people who love these games, and I'm like, well, when does it get good? And they go, oh, it's about the 15-hour mark.
Oy.
Like, from there, it gets really good. And it's like, I don't necessarily have 15 hours to spend to get to the good stuff. If you're not good at the start, you've lost me.
Yeah.
And that's where games, for me, like Red Dead Redemption 2, like Final Fantasy, they sometimes struggle to keep me interested because I just know it's such a huge input of time to even get to that point.
Yeah, well, I think that's the big thing, is we sometimes also see these games and we get exhausted at the looking at the size and the breadth of them. If they can't convince me that that kind of commitment to them is worth it, why am I here? The amount of times that I started and stopped both Skyrim and Fallout 4...
Mm.
Because I was like, no, people love this game. I've got to give it a chance. And a couple of hours in, I'm like, I just don't care. I don't like this.
Yeah, I think, you know, this idea of first impressions, you know, I think some games that are my favorite games that I've played, they have such strong introductions, you know, and I think some games, going back, they've struggled to grab me because of, like, over-tutorializing things.
Yep.
You know, they don't give you the good stuff straight away. They just kind of, here's how you duck. Here's how you do this. And you go, mate, I've played a game before. Like, I'm not stupid.
Sure. I think a huge problem is games really need to work on how they give you information. I think games like, when I played Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I found it really easy to just get in and get going. Even though there was a completely kind of new mechanics to work with, I didn't feel like I was having to be walked through it. But there are some games where it sits and goes, and here's the menu where you'll go through and you'll learn how to craft the gems that you'll maybe use. You might not. It's a, you know, here or there. And, you know, sitting there through screens, you telling me what is on this screen that I need to interact with, that doesn't help. But it's not just about, like, kind of games grabbing you in these early moments. There are games that can have these tumultuous releases or PR lead-ups to their release that are a huge effect on their sales and upon the public opinion on them going forward. Now, the reason that we're talking about this today is this morning, you guys will be listening to this a week later, so the problem may have reared its head again, but when we're recording this, the VIP demo for Anthem has come out. Now, Anthem is the next big game from BioWare and EA. There's a lot of hype around it, but there is also a lot of disenfranchised BioWare fans mainly who don't want to play a multiplayer game online. They don't want something that's not something they're familiar with.
And people that also just don't like EA. You know, they're this sort of this easy poster child for hating a game company, and EA always comes up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they monetize everything. Oh, they do all these crap sequels. Oh, they just do sports games. They don't care about their staff. Like, all these negative connotations. And I think that Anthem, in so many ways, because it is BioWare, which is a loved studio, a diverse studio, you know, is this kind of chance for them to win people back.
Yep.
So yeah, this morning, they at 4 a.m. here in Australia, they were launching their demo for Anthem, this anticipated title coming out in a few weeks.
Yeah, a VIP demo for anyone that pre-ordered, or that's if you were on any of their kind of early access initiatives like EA Origin and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and you know, people are looking for a win for this game, and EA are looking for a win as well. It needs it for the PR. But unfortunately, several hours into the start of this demo, people still couldn't play it.
Yep.
In fact, it's as of time of recording, it's been 12 hours, and Xbox folk are still struggling to get in properly and play this game.
Yep.
You know, there's a two-day window to play it, and half a day is gone because they didn't prepare effectively enough for this influx of people playing on this game.
Yeah, and this is... So, for someone who, like you and I, who have kind of become a little desensitized, I think, to some of the stuff that happened in the industry. Stuff like this happens, and I go, oh, I get it. This, you know, this is something that happens in the industry.
Yeah.
But you go to Twitter, and you see these people who get frantic about the gaming in this way that basically have turned on BioWare and EA, saying that this fault is the act of evil, and they're a bad corporation, and they're, you know, this is terrible, and this game is going to be trash because of it. Now, I, unlike you, was able to get in this morning and play it. And I enjoyed it. But that doesn't mean that I wasn't concerned about server issues when I was playing it, because I had trouble once I was in getting into some missions as well.
And, you know, sitting here, I know that servers have problems. I mean, multiplayer games launch, there can be issues. And I will, of course, forgive them, because I do look forward to the title. And I think that, you know, if anything, this VIP weekend, yeah, people might be annoyed about it, but ultimately, they'll use this as a really good test, and they'll learn from this experience, I hope, and fix it when it comes out. And I think the people overreact quite quickly. And it, you're right, though, first impressions do matter. But I had someone today that was like, on Twitter, I can't believe I paid $80 for this. And it's like, well, you haven't paid $80 for this. You paid $80 for the game that comes out in a month's time. Today's just a demo to try it out. You haven't paid for today. They don't owe you today. Yes, they've advertised it and said you would get it. In that sense, it's not good that it's not working. But you haven't paid for a demo, mate. You've paid for the full experience launching on February 22nd. Just calm down.
Well, I see, like, and to their credit, EA and BioWare and the Anthem team are doing really well, but people demanding refunds based off of this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is not the final product. This isn't the game. You're not getting the game early. You're getting a specific demo, and this was, and people are like, if it wasn't, you know, ready to take this, if this was a stress test, you should have called it a beta, not a demo. I'm like, now you're getting into semantics.
Yeah.
But people have taken this and they're running with it, and I worry that they'll use this as an excuse for never touching the game again.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can say that it won't impact you if someone else doesn't buy the game that you're playing, but in a game like Anthem, and games like it, like your Division, your Destiny, things like that, you know, the actual community is a huge factor in the future content that gets made, and how much support that it gets, and how much DLC they add, or like extra story missions, or whatever.
Destiny 2 is kept afloat by the fanatic fans that have stuck with it. Like, you, without these people sticking around, you go nowhere.
And Anthem needs to bring people in. It's a new IP. It's a new game.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really afford these missteps. So, you know, this is the first impression of people that will probably last.
And it's also a game that people are, like, there's a lot of people that want it to fail, and they're pointing at this going, this is what we were worried about. And like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. You've jumped on an opportunity to get on your high horse, and maybe you need to hop off and just, you know, cool your jets until the game actually releases.
Yeah. It's really tricky. And I think, you know, it's even worse. There are cases where, you know, your first impression of a game could be heavily influenced by something outside of the control of the developers themselves.
Yep.
You know, in this case, it's not BioWare's fault the servers aren't working. You know what I mean? This is out of their control. They're fixing the error as best they can, but now people have put blood, sweat, and tears into this game, and now it's got these problems. I remember a few years ago when Titanfall launched on Xbox, the original Titanfall, there was a specific issue that Australia had with Optus. If you were on Optus internet, you could not play Titanfall online. It would not work. There was some weird thing about this particular game, only this game, that would not work on Optus, and Optus were really aware of this issue. Of course, I had Optus, and Titanfall was an online-only, multiplayer-only experience. So I bought the game and couldn't play it for 2 months, thanks Optus. Like, it was unbelievable.
Telstra had a similar issue where two people from the same IP on Destiny couldn't play together. So me and my husband in the same location weren't able to actually play together for, I think it was close to 6 months to 7 months that we had to, like, find sneaky workarounds to get into each other's game.
Yeah. Which is awful. Cam, you made like little finger movements.
I know
then,
that was a little bit. Yeah, that wasn't the best finger movements to go with that example. But like, this is the thing. I think in the last year we've seen a few games affected by. In the last few years, we've seen these games that get hit really hard at the beginning and never really recover. The most recent one that comes to mind before this is Fallout 76.
Yeah,
the Fallout 76. It was unfortunately, I think, a bit. It was misunderstood as to what it wanted to be to a lot of fans. A lot of fans had a preconceived idea of what this game was going to be. And when they got in there and it wasn't that, they got angry. And so Ellie and I have discussed before that for a survival game, it's actually not terrible. But for a Fallout game, that's not what it is.
Yeah.
But then it also had a myriad of bugs. And then they had PR problem after PR problem. They had accidentally releasing customers' information. They had a bag that wasn't what they promised. Like, it was a nightmare launch for them. And now, without the game being really that bad, it was on the top of most people's worst game of the year. And I'm like, there were worse games last year.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, there's always going to be games that are literally unplayable.
Yeah.
That this break.
This is playable, but people have basically just thrown it in the trash. And it's having, I don't think it can recover.
And that's the problem with, I guess, first impressions. When you have a franchise that you know and love, or there's a big amount of hype behind something. And this is an issue that No Man's Sky faced as well.
Yeah.
You know, people build things up so much. And it's an issue with PR, really. PR in gaming is really tough. If you have a game that, you know, gets PR'd the hell out of it, and like marketing and all these really cool things, and promoted everywhere, and you start believing the hype. You can't help it. That's how it works.
Games with too much marketing can never be what they're marketed as.
Yeah.
You look at, so some of the early reviews have come out about Kingdom Hearts saying, it's fine. It's been a bit middle ground.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kieran hasn't, is working on his review right now.
Yeah.
And so we're not sure what that perspective will look like from our point of view, but that's something that's been hyped for the last 8 years. And there's no way that it could ever be an 8 years worth of hype train could let it be.
Yeah.
But is that thing, if everyone's like, it's fine, does that then make people go, oh, well then, no, it's not, it's the worst, I won't bother with it. When it's fine would be fine if it had been on like a 2 year cycle.
Yeah. I do think that, games, they really do need to grab you in those opening moments as well, and prove those opening moments are full of polished, strong gameplay and good story as well.
Yeah.
One of the strongest openings, and it's probably in my head because we talk about Last of Us Part 2 on the show, but The Last of Us.
Oh.
That opening, I mean, that's a new IP. They could have started any way they wanted to open with that scene. No explanation, no like, you know, here's how you're playing. Like, just this heartbreaking scene.
Yep. Just run. That's all you can do. Like, go that direction.
I remember when that opening scene finished, I was like, I love this game. You know, I hadn't played the rest of it. I had no idea what the mechanics were or anything about it. But I was like, I love this game. This is what I want.
Yeah, that opening section just kind of, just like broke me. And then I was like, okay, it set a theme for what the rest of the game was going to be. And I think that's things like, so with Skyrim, go back to it. You think about how Skyrim opens, with the fact that it actually starts with that really slow carriage.
Yep.
And that's turned into a meme now.
Yeah.
And like, people joke about the fact that it's one of the worst openings, because it doesn't live up to anything else the game
so boring.
Delivers on. It's so boring and you're stuck and you've got to watch you go past everything.
Yep.
That was stuck into my head to expect that kind of like slow methodicness to the rest of the game.
And you know, I especially now, you know, reviewing games, I'm quite time poor when it comes to games.
Yes.
I have to be choosy. I think that it's not just a reviewer problem, I think it's a general problem that gamers have. There's so many games out. So many games come out, there's indies and big releases, and they're all great, and some of them go for 100 hours.
I was gonna say, there's so many 100-hour games now. Just release the 6-hour games, please, people.
Please.
Just occasionally.
I reviewed Resident Evil 2, finished it in like 2 days, and was so happy. I was so happy. It was so good. But you know,
trying to review Assassin's Creed Odyssey,
brutal. So for me, like, I don't want to spend all this time playing a game if it's not going to be good. So when I go back, like, I recently tried to play Metro 20.
You've gone back to play them.
The first one.
Yeah.
No. Can't do it. It doesn't grab me. It's like the first, I played it for like an hour and I was like, I just don't care about this at all. I just don't care in the slightest.
That is very fair on those games.
And yeah, it's so disappointing because I went into it thinking, I'm going to get ready for Metro Exodus. I'm going to learn about it. And I put it on and I was like, I hate this so much. And, you know, it's so tough. A game needs to capture your attention and hold it, you know? And I think that if a game can't do that, it does get lost in the shuffle. It's so easy to trade them in for something else or take it back to the shop. Like, it's really difficult.
I think for me, one of the big things that I try to do these days is just approach everything from a... especially with things like Anthem. I have my concerns, I have my worries about it, but I'm like, it's not a finished product. There's better things to come. And I think after seeing that games can be fixed... You mentioned No Man's Sky before. That is a game that, you know, 2 years later found new life and is actually way better than it ever was going to be at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yes, there are things that were lied about that never came to fruition. There's that problem of trying to please everyone when you're on the press cycle. That never happened. But that's a game where it took quite some time and convincing for me to get back in. And I don't think I would have gone back in if it hadn't been that we were talking about it quite a lot through Checkpoint and it came up on the show a little bit. And so I was like, I'm going to check it out because we're talking about it so much. And then because I checked it out, a few more people I know checked it out and were like, Joe, and it is better than it used to be.
Yeah.
And so not everything gets that second chance. It's hard to go back.
And I think obviously No Man's Sky, the damage it had done was pretty irreparable. I think a lot of people, myself included, will never go back to it.
Yeah.
It's a better game now. But I mean, it's also a 2-year-old game.
Yeah.
I don't have time for that when I have all these new games coming out in the next few weeks. Like, I don't want to go back to a 2-year-old game because they fixed all the things I hated about it. Should have got it right the first time. You know, and that's me being quite like set and forget. Like, I'm done with a game once I'm done with it. I don't go back to them. I don't even replay things more than once I finish it, really. I don't have time for that. So, you know, I think that first impressions like that one, they do stick and they're irrecoverable.
So do you think that with your mourning you've had with Anthem not able to get in, are you still hyped or has that died off? Or
I'm still eager to play. Like, I'm going to go home after this and try and fire it up straight away. And even if it doesn't work, I'll try again and try again.
Yeah.
I'm still keen on this game because I can see that it's a demo and I'm not going to hold it accountable for a demo weekend. You know, if the full game launched and had this problem, that's a different story, you know, and that would factor into my opinion of the game because when a game is full price in stores on shelves, you need to work. You need to be playable. Otherwise, you're buying a piece of cardboard or you're buying a drink coaster. Like, you're not buying a game at that point. It's not doing its intended purpose.
Yeah.
A demo, I will forgive. I hope people do because it is a demo. It's not meant to be.
People should. And I think if you take one thing away from this, it's give things a chance. If it's like, if it's a demo or a beta, get over yourself.
Yeah. If the game launches and it's amazing and everyone's raving and all your friends are playing it, are you going to go, nah, I'm not going to play it because the demo was a failure?
I tried to get on for 10 hours and I couldn't, so it's obviously broken.
Yeah. You keep doing you, hipster. I don't care. Like, that's ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like, just, I think people need to forgive, and I think that this isn't necessarily something that EA anticipated or tried to do intentionally. There's still people trying to make this work.
Yeah.
And I think the first impressions, they shouldn't necessarily last. I think some definitely do stick, which is tricky, but I do hope that, based on a demo, I hope that Anthem survives this onslaught.
Well, thank you for having a chat with me about first impressions, Luke.
Of course.
The most important thing was, what was your first impression of me?
I knew you'd ask that, and I was like, man, he has a lot of hair. Like, it's long, and it's just there, and I just thought, it's a lot.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That's probably
the main thing that stood out.
Your first impression of me, I'd only spoken to you online for like a few weeks, and then I walked into here, and you were about twice the size I thought you were. All your pictures, I thought you were like only going to come up to around about my armpit, and then you were the same height as me, and it threw me.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm all about the height surprise.
Well, my name's been Cameron. I've been here with Luke. We've been talking about first impressions.
Yes.
And that's all we have time for Checkpoint Intimates, but you can go back and listen to all the other Checkpoint Intimates.
Listen to them all.
Listen to us getting intimate with lots of different people and different things.
Sometimes there's no clothes involved. It's great.
No. That's it. Done. Goodbye.